Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you again for taking the time to come and join with me. Here we are, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. We're in the last part, if you would, getting ready almost to walk back down that hill, but not just yet. The Sermon on the Mount, do not judge. This is what I see as the little heading on the top of verses 1 through 6 in my Bible. Before we continue, though, let's just have a quick recap of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, now into Matthew 7. Now, Matthew 5 focuses on the character aspects, the character of what we might just call kingdom citizens. Blessed is he who. And for us, followers of Christ, we are kingdom citizens. Are we not ambassadors of Christ? Absolutely. It focuses on the righteousness that comes from within, Matthew chapter 5. And then we move into Matthew chapter 6, where we see the emphasis of our proper motivation and our heart's attitude towards the things that we do, of the things that we think. And we see the importance of trusting in God in each and every one of these areas. Now, as we come into Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at practical aspects. We're looking at judgment. We're looking at discernment. We're looking at wise living in our daily walk with Christ. And even though here, this is interesting, you'll see some of the language, some of the words here. Yes, you would see this perhaps in the context of, you know, the Jewish brothers, as us now brothers in Christ, Jews and Gentiles together. But understand also, as we'll see from verse 6, this is Jesus was speaking to a wider audience. So what we're talking about here, not just for brothers and sisters in Christ, it is for all. But let's go through it. Let's have a quick look. Grab your pen and paper, perhaps. Follow along with me. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 1. And I'll just make some comments and some notes as we go. This doesn't need to be a long video. It is quite self-explanatory. So, verse 1, judge not that you not be judged. Or as you may have heard this, judge not or condemn not, depending on the translation, lest you also be judged. And you may have even heard this from others who are unbelievers. Oh, the Bible says, you know, do not judge lest you be judged. Well, yes, but let's read verse 2 to get the context, shall we? For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. So I might paraphrase and say, you know, do not judge lest you be judged by the same measure. This is important. What Jesus is referring to here is warning us against hypocritical judgment. And we see this explained further as we continue through this section. It doesn't mean we should never pass judgment and assess a situation for what it is or an action, but we should avoid condemning people just for the sake of, oh, holier art I. You know, holy am I, you can't do that. And I've sadly seen that so many times. And others examples where I've seen people who, because maybe they're struggling with a thing and they don't want someone to fall into the same, and so they cast judgment in the hope that it might deter them on their path. But folks, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Romans 2 verse 1 says, therefore you have no excuse. Now this is written to the believer, to us, followers of Christ, Christians. You have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same thing. And that's that illustration that I gave where I've seen it in here, hidden. Hidden is this sin. And then we judge others for it. No, no, absolutely not. We cannot do that. Jesus here is teaching us that the standard by which we apply a measure of judgment to others, it will be applied to us too. We know that because it says it in Scripture. And so I encourage you, first point, to take a moment and pause and give consideration to self-reflection, humility, and understand, Lord, if I'm doing this, forgive me. Please show me. We see in the Psalms, David, so many times, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, if I am doing this, then please show me and let that be so. We see this. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that shall he reap." And we see this theme again and again and again in Scripture. But here we have the Sermon on the Mount straight out of the gate. Jesus is introducing such things because, well, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were indeed a judgmental mob. And I have no doubt some of them too would have been watching also. But look at verse 3 now. "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" I love it. Jesus doubles down on this one. Well, how can you say to your brother, "Let me remove that speck. Let me make you a better person. Let me do this for you." But then we see, "And look, look, there's a plank in your own eye," Jesus says. Verse 5, "Hypocrite." Yeah, straight to it. "First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove that speck from your own eye." Finding fault in others can be tremendously hypocritical, especially considering how much fault that if God were to point them all out at one moment, he would find in you. Ouch! And Jesus here, our Lord, our beautiful Savior, is pointing out just how, pointing out the hypocrisy of criticizing others when we have such issues, often such large issues in our own lives. And of course, this calls for personal reflection, as I mentioned earlier, self, I can't think of the word right off, I've got it written down here, correction, that's the one. Self-correction, removing our own faults, focusing more on working with Christ in ourselves than on working with others to make them do this. Can you see where I'm going with that? This is about addressing our own sins and our own shortcomings, which enables us then to help others more effectively. And one of the things which is so incredibly important, I say this to the men's group, the men's breakfast, which I'm involved with here in my local church. It doesn't matter, I say, what you have done, what you have thought, what you have wanted to do. There is no judgment from me. I mean, there really isn't, because I'm pretty sure whatever it is, at some point, I've done it, or I've thought it, or I've wanted to do it. So I can't judge you. I can't, because, well, me, I can't do that. And I say this, I hope, in such manner as to not sound in any manner prideful or boastful. Trust me, there is nothing but shame through the actions that I have taken over the years, over past, the many sins which mounted high. And if it were not for the blood of Jesus, and if it were not for the righteousness of Christ, I would stand no part of standing before God in that final day. And we need to come to that point, folks, of reflection and understanding that that is the way it is. The only thing that will allow me to stand, though I'm sure I won't be standing, I'll be on my knees or, you know, lying on the floor when, I'm sure it doesn't work like this, but just as an imagination. And I come before God, the Father, and Jesus sitting there at his right hand, the Holy Spirit within. God's going to go, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" Now, it doesn't work like that, but there is no reason why. I'm just going to point to Jesus and say, "He said I can come." My faith in him. He paid the price. My sins were put upon him. And he paid the price so that I don't have to. He's the reason why. Nothing of me. And when we realize that grace which God extended to us through the sacrifice of Christ on that cross, when we realize that, then we also realize, oh boy, I am in no position to judge. And if we see someone who has stepped out of line and is not walking in the manner in which they should, Galatians 6, verse 1, "Brothers, Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, though, lest you too be tempted. But that spirit of gentleness, not judgment, the gentleness that God has shown us, because the punishment for our sins that should have been dealt to us was dealt to his Son. But then we have this curious verse in verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What a curious verse we have here. The Sermon on the Mount, lots of different people there, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, educated, uneducated, wealthy, poor, an incredible mix of people who have come, the multitudes, as it says in the Word, to hear this man, this, as they said, prophet, speak. And they hear something which they've never heard before. A lot of it would have just gone over their heads, but I guarantee for the Jews in the room, the Jewish people who were listening, they would have understood this reference because this refers to the Gentiles, the unbelievers in Jewish culture. So for us now, we can take that and go, the unbelievers. What we are seeing here is that we need to use discernment in sharing sacred, beautiful, holy truths. I see so often judgment from street preachers. Yeah, you this, you this, you that, you're going to hell. And then they try and explain why. Sacred truths, folks. Preach the message and the gospel of love. Now, I know that Scripture does tell that there is a time also for fire and brimstone. Yes, but it is not the only thing. It is not what saves people more often than not. What saves them is the love of Christ. And a little caveat with that. Yes, we know you don't have to change. You don't have to get your life right in order to come to Christ. Come to Christ as you are. He will accept you, I promise you. But don't expect to stay as you are. Even for the man or woman who thinks they've had a good life and never done anything wrong. The Bible says otherwise. Scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one. So whomever you are, whatever you've done, you don't need to get your life right before you come to God. That's his job. He wants to clothe you with righteousness. He wants to clothe you with humility. He wants to wash you clean and forgive you for everything. And this process which takes place through the forgiveness of Christ when we accept that sacrifice, what he did for us on that cross, when we repent, when we turn away from our will and our ways to God's ways on bended knee, so to speak, and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. I am a sinner. Forgive me. Help me to live now as you would have me live. That's a beautiful prayer. And from there, we move on. So we must be careful here. Jesus seeks and is advising us for us to use discernment. Because not everyone's going to appreciate the value of what I have just said to you. Now, if you're a believer, you get it already. But not everyone will understand the value of the gospel. We should be mindful of how and to whom, yes, to whom we share it to. It's all a matter of timing. And sometimes we just, you know, we sow the seed and yet another will water, Scripture says. They don't have to come to the Lord right then and right there. No, your job is to speak the word, yes, in fullness, and then let the Spirit do the work. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. So do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man. Correct a wise man, and he will love you. And that's what verse 6 is all about. So we have this section about judgment. And verse 6 refers to that, but being wise. Don't just go out and condemn people for the sake of condemning people. No, hypocrite, how dare you? Our condemnation is now on Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, if you know the Bible verse. Why? Because our condemnation went to Him. We received that righteousness, forgiveness, grace, love, mercy. Folks, if we've received it, why don't we show it? That's my wrap-up. All right, folks, thank you again for joining with me. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.